Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It goes without saying that you are listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Seffi and I'm with the amazing Wing. Here she is.
I'm Wing. Here I am, being amazing as usual.
And are you in a transformational period? Because apparently everyone is.
Have you been feeling lost?
Have you been feeling like you're growing in directions you've never seen before?
Out of control?
Well, good thing, because that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about growth phases, transitions, transformational periods, fun, anxiety, security, boredom.
This is one of my favourite episodes maybe we've ever done. I've had a great time.
I haven't felt much anxiety during it. I feel like we've both been really relaxed during it, which has been really nice. Mm-hmm. It does transcend into chaos slightly, but, or maybe it just begins outright with chaos, which you'll hear in a minute, but let's just get right into it.
Here we go.
So I'm in love. I need to start with this.
Stunning. Yep. Tell the crowd, tell the audience.
I'm in love and I don't care who knows it.
Scream it from the rooftops. Who are you in love with? I think everyone's getting really excited now that it's actually like a legitimate person, but it's unfortunately, I have to say, it's just another daydream.
It's just another daydream, but I can't focus on anything else until this love dies. Oh. It's kind of perfect off the back of our sexual fantasizing episode, which was honestly a cracker.
Went down a storm, may I say, thanks to everyone who listened.
Went down a storm. Thanks to everyone that listened to us honestly expose ourselves in the most embarrassing way ever.
As they do every week.
Yeah, literally, which is the essence of this podcast. Ever since then, I started watching a show. It's called Succession, if anyone's seen it. I highly recommend. Change your life.
Do you recommend it just for this guy or you recommend it in general?
I recommend it purely for the guy. I'm actually quite bored of the show. But it's obviously really good. But basically, I, ever since that episode, just went into a complete dark spiral of being... It's so in love that I can't focus on anything else.
It's so in love that everything else is a bore. Everything else is a drag, a total drag.
I don't know who I am, honestly. I don't know who I am. I'm like, kind of, I say his name, I'm like sweating. I'm like dying over
here. Go on, tell us the name. Give us the name.
Okay, I'm going to give you...
Well, however you want to tell it, it's fine.
It needs a bit of a... Because I said the name to Wing and she's like, who? And it's like, oh, okay, I should have said... So, right, how does it... Everyone is familiar with the film Home Alone. Yes.
This is bad.
Everybody is familiar with Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. It's not him. It's not him.
I would fucking hope not.
It's Macaulay Culkin, but it's Kieran Culkin, as in Macaulay Culkin's younger brother, who's in his, I would say, 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
Who also is in Home Alone as the child that wets the bed.
I can't believe that's him.
I can't believe that's him. He's in Succession and he's like this... Honestly, cheeky boy, and I'm obsessed.
Well, you were describing him as a bit of an evil villain.
He is. He's not who you'd want to know in real life.
Just your type, really.
Truly, truly my type.
You said he wanked onto a window. Can I say that? Spoilers for Succession.
And I saw that and I thought, that's the man for me. He's wanking onto that window. You know when it's just like, I think it's the same thing you were saying about Seth Rogen. It's like, I need to show up at his door and say... Fucking Kieran Culkin.
Honestly, do your worst.
Leave me alone.
Release me from this
release
curse.
Release me.
I'm begging me. You. I'm on my knees begging.
You're ruining all my friendships.
Yeah.
You're the only thing I think about Kieran Culkin.
God, it's horrible.
So embarrassing. It's like, who is that?
You're going to have to edit this. I hope by the time you're editing this, you're like, oh God, I'm over it. But you won't be.
I won't be. It's a deep, dark one.
What's your longest... Your longest lasting?
Louis Theroux.
And that was really bad.
Louis threw his an endless love for you. I love that.
That was about 3 years of pain.
You're over the pain of that though now.
Yeah, now I can. I have a sweatshirt that I wear all the time that my friend got me with his face on. So I can wear that without crying.
Yeah.
But if you got me one now with Kieran's face on, Kieran Culkin.
Well, it's almost, I wouldn't do that to you because I don't want to ruin your chances of getting with him, which is the most painful part. Exactly. Is because we legitimately think it's going to happen.
Exactly. That's the problem with James Acaster as well. It's like, I can't even publicly declare my love for him, which, oops, I have.
Oops.
To a few thousand, I'd say.
This might get edited out.
So I'm kind of ruining my chances by the second.
Yeah, it's a bit too close for home. Close to home. Spider-Man Far From Home.
Also, because I'm going to the fucking off-menu live thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be there.
That's the worst bit. It's going to a Jonas Brothers concert, standing in the back row and leaving just as another fangirl. It's like, shit. It's worse to be in the room.
That's why at Reading 2019 or whatever, I had to pretend that for the whole thing that I was, what's his name, Alex Turner. I had to pretend I was his girlfriend in my mind because it's too painful to be in the audience.
Do I wanna know?
Why do you only call me Alex when you're high?
You were in your little docks, yeah, crying honestly. Your heart out.
Well, how are you?
Right, so I said at the beginning, before we started recording, off the record, I said, just don't ask me how I am.
And I said, okay, I'll start it by just saying I'm in love. And then we said, okay, go. 3, 2, 1, go. And I just went, I'm in love. Like, most chaotic start to a podcast. Just what?
Not because I'm particularly bad, but I don't quite know what to say. How am I? I don't really know where to begin. I'm all right. I think I'm just a bit knackered, a bit exhaustedoed, yeah. And that's fine.
That's fine.
I'm thinking it's a bit of a chilled vibe from me. We're recording in the evening, which is quite nice. We never do that.
We never do it. And it's because it was like, there was a school. The reason that we're recording in the evening is because, I mean, today's just got, it's got pushed back and back and back and back all day.
It's got progressively worse as the day's gone on, really.
I woke up in the morning and it was like literally kids screaming and a man for a microphone going, everybody red team and go, go, go. And it was like, oh God, it's fucking sports day at the school that I live like right behind.
Yeah.
So that was a nightmare. And then my granny came over, which was really nice, but... So today's just got a bit shifted.
Yeah, it hasn't gone to plan, but it's been great.
Mm.
I'm honestly wrapped up in a little blanket. I'm having the time of my life, really. It's a very cozy vibe.
It is cozy. Time to talk about some transformations, hey?
Okay, yeah. So when we were talking about this episode, I said to Seffi, I feel like a transitional growth phase kind of episode will go down a storm because everyone and their mother seems to think they're in a growth phase. Are you in a growth? I'm just in a growth phase. I'm just in a spiritual awakening. I'm just in my enlightenment phase right now.
Just going through a bit of a phase, like growth, yeah. Changes, big changes in my life.
I'm just having a bit of a time. There's a lot going on at the moment. I've got a bit of a funk at the moment. There's just a lot going on.
A funk.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like YouTubers always say when they've taken a big leave of absence really for about do, 3 months. They? I'll go, sorry, I was just in a funk. It's like, oh Jesus, this funk.
I can't tell you how many videos I've watched how I got out of my funk.
All YouTubers are living the funky life. Honestly, take me to Funky Town.
Funky Town? Mm. Oh my God.
Are you in a transitional funky time or what's going on? Are you at Funky
Town? I'm honestly, it doesn't feel funky, but yeah, I would say I'm in a funk. What about you?
Yeah, I'm definitely in a funk.
It's chaos.
It's chaos.
It's thriving on chaos.
It's thriving on chaos, but chaos is a ladder, famously. But I don't know. I definitely feel like everything's going wrong. Mm. I did say to you the other day, well, I did say what I always say, which is the veil is very thin right now. Mm, but I also said, do you remember ages ago in an episode I spoke about a crystal that's called Moldavite that's like everything turns your life upside down?
We remember, yeah.
I said to Wing the other day, I was like, it does feel like one of us accidentally purchased something with some Moldavite on it.
Well, it feels like everyone suddenly had a little Moldavite. Sprinkle of Moldavite.
It's real, like everything's being turned on its head. It's like there's definitely Moldavite near me and I just know it. Know it? God, I'm not crying.
That was a burp, not a breakdown.
It was kind of, I just thought of Kieran again and I just gulp.
So I was thinking thinking that my feelings on this as an episode, as a topic, as a whole kind of discourse is that really I don't know if I even agree with like growth phase, like blah blah blah, just in the way that I think I remember saying this in an episode back when we weren't called what we are called now, and I'm not going to address it, but if you've been listening to old episodes, then it goes without saying.
We always say I'm not going to address it, but we always address it.
Elephant in the room.
Also, all the episodes are still up.
It's really mortifying.
All of the episodes where we say, hey, welcome to beep.
Don't.
They're all still up.
It's too much. Honestly, she who shall not be named. Voldemort in the room. Yeah, I said in an episode, it must have been probably, like, maybe even over a year ago, I don't know. Something along the lines of, like, when we're having a time, we're living a life, and we love to, in the midst of an experience, try and map out a pretty little title and a chapter for this time in our lives. And I think, actually, what often happens is it's only with hindsight that you can wrap up what that phase was and what that chapter was. If ever, someone actually wrote in a message saying something along those lines, and I... Let me try and find it. Oh, you know, I'm not going to be able to find it. I'm so sorry. I think it was in response to, does change and destruction and all of those things, does that happen for a reason? Like, does that happen for a greater purpose? And the person said, it's easy to think that it happens for a greater purpose when you have the luxury of hindsight and you see now how things mapped out. And you can easily say, yeah, well, that was the purpose. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there actually was a purpose. Yeah. It just feels like, okay, everything worked out.
That is funny, isn't it? That kind of humans are so uncomfortable with mess that they have to kind of organise and categorise their messy lives.
Kind of why we wrote the Bible.
Yeah.
It's like, quick, it's like, let's come up with we need some sort of overarching moral code.
This all feels like a bit of a mess. What do you mean we live and we die? No, that's a big fat mess. Let's kind of say that this all is a purpose, all kind of reincarnation. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Love the whole idea. I get to do this again. Brilliant.
And even like your, you know, we talk about hoe phases or your slut phase, your hot girl summer.
Or gap year even.
My gap year, this is my grind time. I'm just in my hustle mode. Like, we're constantly trying to tie up and put a little ribbon on where we are right now. And so much of life just isn't like that. But I love to explore it anyway.
But I even think that it goes beyond kind of the social media of like hot girl summer, I'm in my gap year or whatever, I'm in my
flop era is mine.
Yeah, my flop era, I'm in a hustle vibe, girl boss, whatever. Even in like society, like big wider things, even like your 20s, your teens, your childhood, your 50s, your 40s, your 70s, what's supposed to happen in these times? It's like, it's all a lie. We've just taken it even further to be like, I'm in this year, I'm dedicating to my career. It's like, don't fucking bore me. That's a joke.
Yeah, it's true, really.
It's like, in your 30s, you should be having your children.
Well, when you think about it, it's kind of Mondays. Yeah. It's like, what even is that?
2 o'clock. You made that up.
The difference between how I behave on a Monday versus how I behave on a Sunday is absolutely insane when you consider the fact that time is just a construct.
Yeah. Mental.
That's crazy.
Or like, I'll only drink alcohol on weekends.
Oh my dear Lord.
Live a little. Or don't drink at all.
Yeah, we are silly beings, hey?
Or just like, oh, I set my alarm for 6 a.m. every morning. Why? You've literally got work, but why? But this also gets into just my hatred of like maths, I think, of just like, it's just a numbers thing. I'm just like, shut up, it's fake.
I never thought I would be blessed enough to meet someone, no offense Seffy, but worse than maths than I am. And I think just incrementally Seffy beats me by a fraction.
No, I think by what fraction? 2/3.
I'd say, but you wouldn't understand.
Let's simplify that fraction, shall we? Let's expand the bracket.
I think Seffy and I are bonded in that we hate numbers like so deeply. It's like, can't we just put the string this into a nice sentence? Why do we have to put a number on? I just don't understand. Anyway, just like numbers, like prime numbers, sounds fake to me.
Get out of your ass, prime numbers. Oh my God, I can't bear it.
Do you know any prime numbers?
I've actually, my dad's obsessed with prime numbers, like obsessed.
Oh, okay. Well, I've set you up well there then.
My dad kind of, do I even get into it? He has a Buddhist kind of cult. He's not even Buddhist. He has like a psychedelic drug cult. No, psychedelic cult, we'll say.
Oh, God.
He has like a psychedelic kind of farm.
Honestly,
thing.
Like, no one is surprised.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, now Seffy makes sense to me. I really get her now.
He made these like badges to get in. To get into the thing. And I'm number, like, I don't know. They're all prime numbers. They've all got a number. He's, of course, 1.
Oh, I actually remember you saying this.
And I'm number, like... fucking 47, is that a prime number? Who the fuck cares if that's a prime number?
No.
But I'm in the 40s or something, I don't know. Which is funny considering I'm his firstborn child. Joking, I picked it, I think. But so there's like a big, my family are quite obsessed with prime numbers, but no, I don't fucking know any.
But why did you pick that number? Because it had some sort of spiritual flowery.
It called me. I saw it and I just thought that is the number for me.
Superfluous meaning. The only way Steffi and I work with numbers is by giving them a very literary meaning. Back in the day, we used to sell these ebooks and we were like, I think like £3.33. Like,
I'm getting something about £2.68.
What kind of feeling does that give you?
I'm thinking even numbers only.
That's ridiculous.
But I do think the only way, because it's true, it's like 11-11. Oh my God, like 11-11. Like, the only way it's like, God, I can only cope if it's like my lucky number.
Maths for dummies. Okay, let me think. Do you have something to say?
I don't have something to say, but I saw something quite funny that someone wrote.
Oh yeah, go on.
Well, I'm sorry, it's not funny at all. It's really sad, then they end, it was really quite serious and they ended it on a joke.
Okay, nice. My favourite kind of message.
It's really bad now I've said it's funny. It's not funny. They said, recovering from PTSD. Then they wrote, terrible, but great things.
Terrible. But great.
Yeah.
Ollivander reference.
Which I did quite like, but obviously not funny that you're recovering from PTSD.
No, obviously not. Yeah. Goes without saying. Yeah. Did you bring that up just for the joke? Or?
Yeah, I literally brought that up for the joke, but I mean, we could definitely talk about PTSD.
Okay. Well, that's their growth period at the moment.
Yeah. As in, I just think like that period of recovery, because a lot of people were saying things like getting out of an abusive relationship as well, and kind of healing from an eating disorder and things like that. So yeah, the recovery is definitely a period of like extreme growth. So you have to go through shit things to get to that bit where it's like, okay, I'm actually feeling a bit more like myself.
So this was a kind of thing that we were speaking about a bit on the stories, which we do on the stories at Steffi and Wing on Instagram, kind of talk about the episode with you lot before we record the episode, so that we're this, you know, using your messages and blah blah blah. Something we were kind of speaking about there was the idea of like, does a growth period have to be voluntary, or like can it be forced upon you? Like, do you have to consent to the change, or is it going to happen to you whether you like it or not, that sort of thing?
I think it's that you have no say over whether it will be inflicted on you, but you have a choice whether to grow within yourself. Like, change is inevitable, growth is optional.
But I also think growth is a really interesting concept, because I feel like it's very easy for someone to declare that they've grown or that they've changed. How many times have we heard that? I've changed, right? Like,
I mean, I'm hearing that left, right and centre. I'm growing.
Left, right and bloody centre. I can't move for people changing.
I don't see any growth here. Yeah. Show me the growth.
Yeah, I mean, so it's tough, isn't it? Because what's the barometer of growth? You think you've grown. But so I might think that I've grown, but someone close to me might think I've become an asshole.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, they do. Like, it's hard, isn't it? What does growth mean? You like yourself more? Is that the only thing that matters?
Well, the more you like yourself, the more society will hate you. So if you're measuring growth in society's terms of like more success, more money, more kind of confidence even, more blah, 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 like more friends, more love, all of this stuff, I don't know, your barometer's off slightly, because it's always going to be tailored slightly towards capitalism and like this idea that you must as an individual be the best. But I think the biggest kind of personal growth of like actually learning to like yourself is about kind of shedding that ego and actually being like, am I okay with who I am? Not the facade version of myself, not like the mirror version of myself that everyone can see and everyone can have an opinion on. Do I, in myself, sitting in a room, no kind of bullshit around me, do I like who I am? And society's not going to like you if the answer to that is yes.
Do you think we need to be pushed through like quote unquote chaotic experiences to get that self-esteem?
I don't know.
It definitely helps, do you think? It doesn't hurt, maybe, to be put through an experience, as in, do we need to be pushed out of our comfort zone at least?
Yeah, you absolutely need to be pushed out of your comfort zone. I just hate the thing that you need to go through negative or like unpleasant experiences to grow.
Exactly,
like, I think that's like, oh God, what a fucking shit world. Like, there's definitely no fucking God then. Like, that's a fucking
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, that settles it. Yeah.
Let's create a species that they need to suffer in order to become good. It's like, yeah. Jesus, okay.
Well, and also kind of analysing people's suffering as a marker of their growth is kind of
horrible.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, you didn't need to go through that. Yeah, it's not a just thing.
But I also agree, like, I've seen some transitions in people that have been through the shittest things, and it's like almost because it does just shed the ego and the storyline, the narrative of you and your life when you do go through absolute trauma.
Yeah,
it's like you are just, you're open to things in a different way because you're not attached to, actually no, I'm attached to this bullshit,
the old self. Well, it's true. Yeah, how do you bring on a new self? You have to ditch the old one first, at least parts of it, surely. But I think maybe most people, maybe we're not that keen, really, like innately,
to shed,
to shift our old self. I don't think it doesn't come that naturally.
Do you feel like you're quite comfortable with change, or is it something you still resist?
I do really quite love a bit of change.
Go on.
I think I stopped hating. I remember saying, I just don't want anything to change. I don't want anything to change when I was like 10. And I think that was because I could feel my period had begun, and I could feel in my womb that my parents were going to be divorcing imminently. Yeah. I was going to be taken out of town and strung along on a crazy journey. But I think once you go through a little, well, for me anyway, I think once I've gone through a little bit of change, and it's kind of the classic thing of with hindsight, you look back and think, okay, well, that panned out and it's fine. I'm a bit more welcoming now to change. I actually look forward to it. But maybe that's also because if I'm miserable, I'm like, yeah, well, I'd love to change it. I'm happy to change.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not that ecstatic. Although I am, I'm feeling quite good. And also, like, in a great place goes without saying, blah, 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 blah. But even when I'm feeling good, I'm always quite excited
for the possibility of change,
for the new thing. Yeah, yeah. What about you? In saying that though, let me just quickly add, I do still like to have a lot of control over the mess, which obviously doesn't work in this universe, at least for me. If you've got a big control over life and everyone and blah, 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 let me know how you're doing it.
But also, like, being comfortable in the illusion of stability. Like, if there's no such thing as stability in this world, and if you do still believe in stability, you're a laughing stock, not gonna lie. I'm joking.
Oh my god.
I only stopped believing in stability,
what, 6 months ago?
I think it was during coronavirus. I thought, all of the structures are fake.
Yeah, not just some of them.
All of the structures here are fake. Mm-hmm. It only took one virus to prove that. Yeah, having the illusion of that is comfortable. Like, I'm not going to say no to just like an illusion of, God, you're settled right now. It's like, oh, that sounds nice for a bit, even if I know, okay, this could be shattered in an instant.
Right. And it's also kind of course, I'd be willing to have change. Of course, I'd be more welcoming of change when it's like, oh, move here or do this. And it's not like, this person that you love is going to die. This thing that you have is going to get ruined. This thing that you have doesn't exist anymore. It's like, yeah, of course, you're going to be more, you know.
Change is nice when it's an addition. It's not when it's a subtraction, to get mathematical.
Yeah, yeah. The great destroyer.
Yeah, truly.
And the tower card.
When it's being like an abundant change rather than like a lacking change. But I definitely think my parents splitting up at an early age, or like as in an early age in my life, not even primary school age, definitely it acclimatizes you to change quite early. You have this illusion of stability of like, this is all fine, and then it's like, whoop, whip the fucking carpet from under you. Nope, life has changed. And it's like, okay, so now I will never feel settled again, so I will always welcome change in that way.
Mm-hmm. Just on the note of divorce.
We've been promising the parents in divorce episode for so long. It turns out it's now.
Have we not done that? We did it a bit in Christmas, right?
Oh, did we?
We did like problematic families.
Oh yeah, we did.
I think it's like your grandma woke up and chose violence or something.
Yeah. Your grandma woke up and chose violence. Stunning.
Yeah. She might even be racist. I don't know if that's in the title. Or like, she might even be homophobic. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
But it's definitely some sort of...
It's like, why your turf grandma?
Yeah. Why your evil grandma? Worst person alive. But yeah, on the note of divorce, as is every episode, it goes out saying, it seems, I remember you saying before, oh, my parents got divorced at an early age, and I always thought my parents got divorced when I was quite old, but we were the same age, you and I, roughly.
Yeah, we were like year six. No, year five. I was in year five.
Yeah. And I thought that was really old.
Really? Is that kind of relative to the people around you? As in, no, none of my friends' parents had got split up, so I was like, oh my god.
Oh, really?
I'm the first. Yeah, so I thought I was the first.
Oh.
But I don't know, if people around you were also had gone through that, then it's almost like, oh, well, this is old news, this happens all the time. Whereas I kind of perceived it as like, I've gone through the hugest trauma, which now is like, no. But at the time it was like, oh my god, why why me? Why me?
I think I just also felt like I was 100 years old.
Yeah, you're quite an old soul.
Grandma. I'm the evil grandma who chose violence.
Wing is everybody's racist grandma.
It's me.
No, but I would say you're quite an old... I always have said this about you. I see you as an owl.
A lot of people do. You're not the first.
You've got an old presence.
That's nice. Thank you.
Is that not nice? I think that's really nice.
Am I kind of weak and feeble? I'm about to kind of conk out. I kind of need a hip replacement, which I do, by the way. My hips click with every step. Not a joke.
So haven't you already had a hip replacement?
No, but I was born without hip sockets. Thanks for bringing that up.
So she really is an old soul and an old body.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
No, but I do think you have a wisdom about your wise energy. And almost you're not bothered with this. You're not bothered with this shit. It's almost like you do have an older presence.
That's why I like having you, my little puppy, to kind of run around my feet, bring the energy.
I think I'm quite a new soul. If we're talking...
You definitely just got here, yeah.
Oh my God, I am literally newborn. This energy is not normal.
You go up to a tree. What's that? Sniff, sniff, sniff. Oh my God, what's going on? Sniff, sniff, sniff. Kieran Culkin. What's going on in his trousers? Piss all over him.
Kieran Culkin wanking on a window. Oh my God, oh my God. Not normal. I honestly, the amount of energy I wake up, I operate in the world with an amount of energy that's actually like quite worrying.
It's obscene. It's absolutely obscene.
It's like, I'm going to explode one of these days.
I love it. I love it so much.
God, I've gone quite red just thinking about Kieran. Fuck.
I mean, I love it for you, but...
Next week it will be done. Sorry, guys, this episode is kind of going to be kind of... There's going to be splatterings of Kieran throughout, I'm sure. Next week it will be gone.
Honestly, it's not even sprinkles, it's splattering. It's like English literature. Why did she... The choice of word there, splattering.
Splattering.
It's too much, says it all. Okay, this message I really liked, but also lots of people were saying this, or, you know, something in a similar vein, but this person said, I'm currently realising that I have nothing in common with my childhood best friends. It's just really interesting, I think, how much we measure where we are by contrast to the people that we are surrounded with, because of course we would kind of, it's okay, I'm a human being, so how do I evaluate how I'm doing as a human being? Well, let me just take a look at the other human beings
and my fellow human beings. And that's why the internet is dangerous, because like, oh, Kylie Jenner's what, fucking 17 or something? It's like,
oh my
Jesus.
God.
Or like Billie Eilish is like 10 years old. Fuck. Yeah. Okay, like
I really like, also just in relation to friends, something that my therapist said recently, which I just thought was great. She said, and I said this to you, Seffi, so you've already heard, this is old news to you, but I thought it was great. She was saying that in your life, it's such a blessing that you are in control about what you choose to bring with you. You have the choice to travel light. Travel light. Take what you need and go. Go, go, go. Travel light. How beautiful is that? Just such a beautiful sentiment.
Travel light. Pack up, honestly, a duffel, fucking duffel bag of shit or whatever Bo Burnham says.
Yeah, bigger motherfucking duffel bag of shit.
Travel light, but turns out all you're taking is a duffel bag of shit.
But I just thought it's such a common thing with aging and also just shifting, like, out of school. You went to uni, you didn't go to uni, you come out of uni, you know. Just friendship, I think, in general, is just a big old thing, isn't it? So profound. So friendship is a big thing.
It's huge, hey? There's a big show I heard. It's called Friends. You might like it if you're into that theme.
No idea what that's about.
I think James Corden's in it now.
Nice. That's great. Nice. Well done.
What was I going to say?
You're still hung up on James Corden.
I'm just like, how can I get Kieran into that? How can I twist this conversation to be about Kieran?
I could have seen Macaulay Culkin in Friends.
Kind of playing Gunther.
No, but I mean, like, at the time, like...
Really?
Yeah. Not as one of the friends, but like kind of Ben, one of Ben's mates, like that sort of thing.
One of Ben's mates, yeah, but that's Cody.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like...
The role's taken by Dylan Sprouse. Not Dylan, Cole Sprouse. Sorry, this has got so convoluted now in Friends.
Also talking about Friends, it's like, how old are we?
I definitely also think with that is comparing yourself to your childhood friends is very different, I think, than comparing yourself to your family or acquaintances from work or your current friends that you're friends with from uni or your friends from fucking down the pub or that you sit on a sofa in Central Park with, whatever. Mm. But your childhood friends, it's like, okay, now you've known these people for years and most likely, I don't know if I'm kind of different in this or I don't know if this is like the universal experience, but all my childhood friends, we've all gone on to do quite different things and we have quite different life experiences now. We all went to different unis, some didn't go to uni, we're all doing like different things. One of my best oldest friends is having a fucking baby, like 6 months pregnant.
Congrats.
Honestly, big congrats. But it's like we're all in such different places that, I mean, to compare to them, it's a minefield. Mm-hmm. It's like to compare to them, it's like, God, we're in such different places that it's almost incomparable.
Right. Yeah. So it's quite liberating in that way. It's almost the people who could be really similar to you, but there are just some key details that have just slightly shifted off course.
I think that's why leaving uni's hard.
That's a bit harder. Mm-hmm. Go on.
Leaving uni's hard, I feel, because you often...
Me and you have really grown apart since leaving uni.
Honestly. Don't even know. I was going to say, don't even know your middle name, but I do. You don't have one.
I don't have one.
Leaving uni, at the second you have graduation, it's almost like this cohort of people thrown into the world. And it's almost like you've been like, you're at the same stage in life for 3 years. Mm. You're all students at the same place and you've very much had this identity. Then it's suddenly like, right, now all go fend for yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, where things get tricky comparison wise, because then you're in the thing that you're in with your childhood friends, where it's like, right, we're all going to do different things now.
Yeah, well, it's true. The liberating thing about childhood friends is that the difference there is that, you know, they've got an attachment or at least an understanding of your old self, and that may have gone, that may have changed, that may still be the same, and you just, you know, whatever, you might be really similar to what they first were introduced to when you were 10 years old, haven't changed a bit, you could be a completely different person, who knows. But with like uni friends, for example, or like adult friends or friends even from like secondary school, like high school, whatever, like your teenage years and on, these people don't necessarily think that they have an attachment to an old self.
Yeah.
They think they met the real, not real you, but...
the final form.
They think they met you fully evolved, but you're like Charizard. Or, you know.
You're an Eevee, you're not an Eevee evolution.
Yeah. Maybe you have reached your final form. Maybe they have reached their final form. But when people think, or you entered the friendship under the premise that you weren't going to change.
Mm, I think that is so fucking true, that when you meet people at kind of 18, 19, there's an idea that, okay, yeah, I'm meeting you as an adult. You've done your growing. You've done all of this.
You might grow alongside them for a few years too.
Yeah. And that I think you do, because mm-hmm. I don't know, I was going to ask you, what was your biggest transitional period, because I think uni is just such a big one.
I was almost thinking with uni actually that I could have been not physically growing, that's literally the complete opposite of what I mean, but I could have been
growth spurt.
Yeah,
the famous first year growth spurt.
I could have been mentally or like emotionally stagnant, more stagnant, but because I'm under the guise of oh, you've done your first year, you've done all these terms, you've done these modules, you've done these essays, blah, 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 that you've given so many markers of progression that you're, well, for, at least for me, I think I didn't have to worry too much about how I'd grown. Whereas now, since leaving uni, with every year that passes, it's literally not even been two, but especially, and also pandemic in the mix, that is obviously all a nightmare, but like more than ever now, I'm judging myself more than ever, I think. I'm marking up, I'm trying to tally up, how have you grown this year? Have you done enough? And before, I don't think I did that in the same way, because I had the security of just in my subconscious thinking, well, you've done like 20 essays, you've done, do you know what I mean? Like,
it's more unconscious.
You've had grades back. Yeah, you think you're growing anyway.
And it's kind of more invisible because I think you're alongside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're alongside people. But I think that's when you look at a photo of yourself from like 5 years ago, you're like, oh my God, I was a different person.
Absolutely.
Also, because at the age that we're at now, it's that weird thing where, I don't know if this is going to make any sense, but throughout our whole life, so say you're 17.
We're with you. We're listening. Yeah.
Say you're 17, you can mark your growth because 3 years ago you looked like a fucking child.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you can very easily mark your change because you're growing boobs, you're doing a whole thing.
You don't fit in the same clothes anymore.
Yeah, you're literally physically changing. And now we're in that weird spot where we're not aging from like 30 to 40. Do you know what I mean? We're in this weird spot now where there's not actually a lot of physical change going on. So it's almost, how do you really mark your development when you're not physically developing in any way? So it's like me at the beginning of uni and me now 2 years out of uni, I don't really look very physically different. It's harder to measure than being like, right, okay, from year 9 to year 11 I made a big jump.
It gives the illusion of a bigger change when, you know, in one instance you're a child and then the next you're not, or you know, you just look really different.
Or even in a few years, oh, and now I have wrinkles and I look different, my skin texture is different, my face looks different, and all of this stuff. I've had Botox.
Yeah, we're laughing because we have this joke that we're gonna get rich and turn up really like kind of I'm moving my face but you can't see, but we're gonna be filler to the max.
I don't know if we ever said this in an episode, but we were saying like, we better not get successful and rich from this because we will be so fucking surgery'd.
We'll be unrecognizable. Yeah. We'll be unrecognizable. Don't be alarmed. You see us in the reels, unrecognizable.
It's just these like absolute like plastic faced girls like, so do not text your toxic ex. We can't even move.
Dump him. Like, can't speak. Taylor Swift famously once said, I can't actually really remember it, but she obviously said it really beautifully and I'm going to butcher it, but it was about one of her songs. It's actually in the Folklore Disney Plus session. You should watch it.
Oh, stunning.
So stunning. But she was, I think it's in that, and she's saying how once a lot of people, you know, you're in school, it's a lot of unconscious, you know, growth and challenges and blah, 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 success, those sorts of things. So as soon as you leave school or education or whatever, you're thrown out into quote unquote the real world. My favourite phrase.
Love when people keep saying that. You're in the real world, you're in the real
the
world.
The real world.
Don't take me here.
I do not want to go to that place.
Yeah, what?
That's the last place I want to go.
Why is this where I ended up? I like the fake world.
Kicking and screaming, I'll go to the real world. But she says, once you leave, Taylor says, my queen, she says, once you leave school and you're out of education, there are not as many opportunities for you to get the pat on the back or the A star.
Yeah.
Or
you're not being graded.
The clap in the audience. Yeah, you're not being graded and you're not giving the praise anymore. It becomes much harder to get recognition for what you've done. Mm.
That is so fucking true.
Been chewed up and spat out.
Oh my God, totally. Because also the things that you were rewarded for at school and like in your youth even were like, you did a very shitty performance at the talent show, but everyone's well done for trying.
Absolutely.
Or you got kind of a not that good grade, or you did your homework and things like that. But now it's like, no, you never, ever, ever get rewarded for like trying now. You have to succeed.
Well, now it's like, oh, you didn't kill yourself. No one cares.
No one gives a fuck. Yeah, no one gives a fuck.
No one fucking cares. You're trying your hardest.
Because it's like, yeah, you and everyone else.
Exactly, yeah. You're trying your fucking hardest and no one cares.
To now, to get a pat on the back, it's not enough just to show up. It's like, no, you've got to do a marathon. You've got to lose 3 stone.
You've got to be Billie Eilish. You have to be a prodigy. Yeah.
You've got to write your first novel at age 19, like... really uncool reference. Like Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein when she was 19. It's like so out of touch.
It's kind of you writing your letter to your 10-year-old self saying, if you're not a Doctor Who, what are they called? Companion. That's the word. I was saying that to my boyfriend last night.
But no, I didn't want to be a companion.
Oh.
I didn't want to be a doctor's assistant, I think is the term you're looking for.
I thought it was the doctor's companion.
I think it's the doctor's assistant, but it could be a companion.
Oh, well, my boyfriend was saying last night, doctor's assistant, and I was like, you're wrong, but I guess I'm just an idiot.
Maybe me and your boyfriend are wrong on that.
No, you're probably right. You're definitely right. Yeah, you would know, wouldn't you, because you wrote the letter. You're the doctor, you're the who head around here. You're the Whovian.
So embarrassing. If anyone doesn't know that story, when I was like, I don't know, 14, I was younger, I was like 8, I wrote myself a letter being like, if you're not in Doctor Who by the time you're 13, just give up. And I'd underlined, just give up. I hid it behind my wardrobe. And lo and behold, not in Doctor Who, am I? Was never in that.
But it's a success story because she didn't give up. She kept trying. And we're happy to announce that she'll be in the new series of Doctor Who, starring Jodie Whittaker and Stephanie Deacon. Dream role.
Dream. Oh my God.
Role of a lifetime.
Role of a lifetime. I am Jodie Whittaker's companion. I'm going in that TARDIS.
That would be stunning.
God, you know I'd love nothing more.
Kind of, do I write the air?
Please.
I'm all over it.
Please.
Stunning. It's kind of, there's a love scene. It opens.
Oh, it opens. I will only do it if Kieran's in it. Love scene, we've written it. Opens up, black screen sprinkles up to me and Kieran standing there in the TARDIS. Oh, Jodie's there. Come on, guys, we've got to get moving.
It's kind of Macaulay Culkin's mum in Home Alone, but she says, Kieran, instead of Kevin.
Literally, keep the change, you filthy animal. Does that, we say it's all Merry Christmas, you filthy animal, not keep the change.
No, it's keep the change.
You filthy, no, it's Merry Christmas, you filthy animal, and there's something about keep the change, I don't know what that is. There's a bit in Home Alone 2 where it goes, get down on your knees and tell me you love me. And they go, we love you. Do you know?
Is that what Kieran says that?
No. Kieran's like 4 in it. Kieran's, he's like, I don't want to get in the bed with him. He wears the bed. And then it just cuts to Kieran's face and he's like, little cheeky smile.
Real cutie pie, but I can't believe that's him.
Yeah, I was quite annoyed when I found out that was him. It does kind of ruin it.
Why? Annoyed?
Well, it does.
Ruins it. He's a child. He's allowed a life.
No, but okay, so you find a fit guy that you're obsessed with, who, by the way, who's not that fit, but you're obsessed with a guy.
It's kind of the equivalent of going on his Facebook profile and scrolling way back and seeing things that should just never be seen.
You see them in like a sort of a football shirt.
In a little waistcoat at the 2008 prom.
Oh my God. Do you know what? The number of times I've done that as well.
I've done it with you.
I often do that whenever I'm talking to someone. I'll then find them on Facebook.
Well, it's a good way to put yourself off. Quickly humble yourself.
It's like them in a spiked up gelled hair with flames on their t-shirt.
Such a time.
So bad. I like this one. Someone said, I moved country, had to live with people I couldn't stand, but had some close friends. We got into astrology, which was eye-opening, into my personality aspects and understanding myself as a whole and the psychology of why people are the way they are. Also, this is all in the question boxes. This is a 1, 2, 3, 4 situation. Actually, it's a 5 situation. Mm-hmm. Also, I learned that people's actions, etc., are usually just a projection of themselves and not a reflection of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Really like that for a few things. I quite loved the mention of astrology because I kind of do think, as much as I am torn between it being bullshit and being like the Bible itself, I do think it is such a great way to like get into. So, what are my personality traits? How do I fit within this world? Oh, here's my chart. Like, I do love that. I do think it's quite transitional.
A lot of messages about people having their Saturn returns.
Oh, really?
You know the podcast Saturn Returns? I think that's a great name for a podcast.
What's the podcast about?
I think it's about like being in your late 20s, early 30s.
Okay, that's kind of the gist. Like that. I don't love it. It gives me the similar vibe of what we used to be called, and it freaks me out.
I like the art for it. Anyway, it's not advertised. It's not promo for every other podcast but ours. Yeah, go on. We love astrology. Well, that's the thing, is I do love astrology.
Yeah, completely.
But I'm also, I love astrology in the way that I love The Sims or like even veganism. It's like, I'm happy to never talk about it to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm happy for it to be a private thing and just watch my little Let's Plays and watch my little Plumbella and just eat my little veggie sausages and keep it to myself.
Totally, yeah. It's not an identity thing. It's just kind of, I will check CoStar every day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like, I'll follow this like a religion, but if you don't, that's absolutely fine.
That's funny as well that doesn't work the other way. If you don't like astrology, as soon as you find out someone does like astrology, it's like, oh, you're mental, you fucking psycho.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same thing with vegans. It's like, if you don't like a vegan,
if you're a vegan, usually you're not desperate to talk about it, but if you aren't a vegan, you're usually desperate to talk about how much you hate vegans.
I think that's really flipped over the past few years.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Because it was an identity thing to start off with.
I think the militant vegan is dead. She is no more.
No, I met some recently.
Really? Can you tell?
I met some and I thought, God, am I in 2014?
What happened?
No, I can't tell, but I...
Did they have little moustache tattoos on their fingers?
They were listening to, why do you only call me when you're high?
They were saying, call me maybe.
Yeah. No, they were... It wasn't even, I met some militant vegans. It was just, I experienced kind of militant veganism and I was like, okay, like this used to be me, like back in 8 years ago when I went vegan. I was like,
that's a fucking long time, Steffi. That's insane.
Also, it is a long time. But also, do you remember I was on the phone to Wing once? I don't know if you remember this, but I was on the phone walking around London and I got to a coffee shop and I was like, wait, can I just hang up for a second? I just want to go buy a coffee.
I do remember this.
Wasn't a coffee. I can't drink coffee because my energy levels, they don't come down for hours. So it was a tea. So I went into the coffee shop and I was like, hey, it was actually a Gale's Bakery. Everyone knows Gale's Bakery.
Mm-hmm. Stunning. I'm still outraged at this.
I was so shocked. It's not even rude, but it was just mental.
No, it's actually not a big deal. We've really hyped it up.
Well, it was just like, God, I'm actually in Doctor Who. Turns out I am the star of Doctor Who and the TARDIS took me like back 5 years ago. I went in and I was like, is anything vegan here? Like, can I get anything that's vegan? And he was
kind
like,
kind of pointing at the baked goods.
Kind of pointing, oh, they're lovely cinnamon swirls. Maybe I'll get a little treat whilst I get my tea. And I was like, oh, is any of this vegan? And this guy was like, I think the sparkling water. And I just literally thought,
that told you.
Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
I haven't heard that joke in 8 years.
I'm going to talk about this on my podcast.
Yeah. I just thought, I haven't heard the joke of maybe you can have some of the water in 8 years.
Yeah. In London too.
In London.
It's barbaric.
It was barbaric, actually.
It's wizard's dress.
And I went, I'll just have a tea with oat milk, please. And he went, we don't have oat milk. And I thought, where am I?
Oh, fucking hell.
Where am I?
What is this hellscape?
I was like, do you have soy milk, please? And they did have soy milk.
Oh my God.
And I came out and got on the phone to bring it down. You're not going to believe the joke this guy just made. It was outrageous.
So we love astrology.
So I love that this girl got into astrology.
Well, that's kind of the spiritual awakening, enlightening thing. What was the end point that she said something about?
That you realise that other people's, what they say about you is just a reflection of themselves.
Yeah. I love that.
It's such a radical lesson to learn.
I think you learn that one over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
If you ever wonder why I've got not your type in my Instagram bio, it's purely a defense mechanism that I have to tell myself. It's not a note to anybody else but myself, as like a disclaimer of like, you're not here to be liked.
Yeah.
You really, the last thing you're here to do is to be palatable and convenient and likable and nice and small and quiet.
And everybody's type.
And everybody's type, yeah, exactly.
So stunning, it's so stunning. But I think that is a lesson that you hear a lot. You hear that phrase.
Be yourself.
Yeah, or kind of whatever people say, if they say nasty things about you, it's more on them than it is about you. It says way more about them than it says about you.
Even not even the horrible things. Just the way that people act is not personal.
That's so true. I don't even know whether we've said, I think this is an old episode. I mean, we've recorded so many fucking episodes now. At some point we said that everything that people do is just them trying to validate their own life decisions through you.
Absolutely.
It's actually crazy when you realize it's like people that live a certain way are desperate for you to live that way too, because they need to convince themselves that they're doing the right thing. And that isn't like people that are miserable are doing it. It's every single person.
It's what we said at the beginning about, you know, if your existence here on earth is as a human being, you will without a doubt be looking to the other human beings to just get the general gist of, okay, what's the consensus of what goes on here on earth? Am I following the general routine? Is this pattern okay? Am I following the trends? Yeah, is this all right?
Am I doing well? Mm-hmm. A star? Or am I operating more at a CD level?
Mm-hmm.
Someone gonna tell me? But there's that also that thing of don't look for advice from anyone whose life you wouldn't want. And there's a bit of me that thinks, yeah, that is really true. Well, I do think it's true, but I also think it's really dangerous, because it's like there are loads of people that I think are amazing whose lives I wouldn't want, but I still think they're incredibly wise.
Not even the specifics of their life. It's like, oh, I'm not going to take your advice because I actually don't like the clothes in your wardrobe and I think your boyfriend's a dick.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
More so like, even, you know, if you don't necessarily want their life, you know, I don't like your sofa, so I wouldn't want their life.
It's almost, do you respect their life?
Better, yeah. Can you admire them, the way that they live?
It's so fucking true, because I do think a lot of people are out here taking advice from people that they don't fucking even respect.
Well, it's hard not to. I believe the first thing I hear, if someone tells me I'm doing a bad job at something, it's going to be hard to convince me otherwise.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Goes without saying.
Life isn't kind of put into this weird thing of people I respect. people I don't respect. Uh-huh. It's like, I kind of think everyone's doing quite well.
Right.
That's why I think the would you want their life thing, almost not even life, but it's like the decisions you're making. Do I think they're good decisions?
Your mindset. Do I trust your mindset?
Because some people I know, I just think you make the opposite decisions that I would make.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever you're faced with a crossroads, you go the opposite way. You choose the other option that I would not have chosen.
Yeah. Okay, so something that we asked on a story.
We've got an alt account.
On a story.
We wrote a short story.
On the stories, we talk about this all the time off the pod. We've probably spoken about it on the pod too. And I actually think this conversation for us came from, I think you heard this from Bobo, listening to Bobo and Flex. Is that correct?
It probably is. I don't know what you're going to say, but if it's wise, it's probably from Bobo.
Absolutely. So it's...
I don't think we've even given Bobo and Flex enough credit in our lives. So maybe we should just take a moment now to be like, we would not exist as a podcast without them.
I don't think I'd exist as a human.
They're amazing. God,
I mean, it's wild. It's absolutely wild. And if you've got this far listening to this podcast without listening to Bobo and Flex, we'll consider ourselves lucky, because the minute you listen to one of theirs, you're never coming back here.
Yeah, honestly, you're a goner.
You're a goner.
I think, honestly, stop this now. If you've never heard of Bobo and Flex, just stop this now. Mm-hmm. And go over. Type in Bobo and Flex into, I assume you're on Spotify, but if you're on Apple Podcast like me, go to Apple Podcasts, Bobo and Flex, and watch your life just change before your very eyes.
I believe it was Bobo who said, and I know you really like this, which is also where the kind of first inklings of this episode came to be. Bobo said, in life, there are two options. You either get fun and severe anxiety, or the stability and security, but extreme boredom or like apathy.
I don't know if this was Bobo. Part of me thinks this was us that came up with this, but then that could just be me.
That's kind of
that.
Classic you.
I kind of think, didn't we say that? But maybe it literally is in Bobo and Flex.
It's definitely Bobo, I think. Remember her saying, you know, I'm choosing to have fun, but I'll be anxious. Remember that?
Love the sound, yeah.
You don't remember that?
I remember us talking a lot about stability and anxiety. And
this came from Bobo, yeah.
Fun and boredom. Yeah, well, brilliant Bobo once again. She strikes again.
Take my word for it. Came from Bobo. Anyway, but yeah. And I know that, you in particular really like, that's probably why you don't remember it came from Bobo, because it's just embedded into your soul now.
Yeah.
Here's the crux. Sevi and I keep joking that we keep saying, the crux of it is, by the end of the episode, there's like a million cruxes going around.
Honestly, in the last episode that went out, we said, so I think the crux of it is, about, honestly, five times, there can't be five cruxes. The crux inherently means the centre of it. The final bottom line.
Oh my God.
You can't say that five times in an episode.
Honestly.
But the crux, one of the cruxes is.
But, one of the many cruxes will be, I can't remember now, what was I saying?
Bobo, stability and anxiety.
Honestly, got memory loss. Say goodbye to your memories.
It's kind of, are you me?
Literally.
You've got memory loss.
Aha. So on the stories, the majority of people said that they would choose to have fun and anxiety. But I don't agree.
I beg to differ. You would, unless we have the coolest group around us, which I'm sure we do.
I absolutely think we do have the coolest group, but I also think on a societal level, and I guess this is more like, this is a kind of capitalist thing I think as well, I think we're kidding ourselves to declare that we would choose fun and severe anxiety over just following what everyone else does, because...
Which is security and boredom.
Yeah, if we're going to be Marx and Engels about it, then yeah.
Which we are.
Which we are.
You're secure, but you're bored. You have the illusion of being secure, but
yeah,
you're bored.
Yeah. Do you agree? Were you shocked at that?
I wasn't shocked that that's what people said, because I either thought maybe we do have this group of people that are living this like super fun but anxious life, which I think would in society's terms look like an alternative lifestyle to be having that life.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't shocked, but then I also think there's a level of potentially we're all kind of kidding ourselves.
You can use the D word, delusion. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say delusion, but I think, because I'm including myself in the delusion.
Well, that's the thing. If we're coming for them, we're coming for us.
We're coming for us. Oh my God, the whole thing is coming for us.
Always.
Goes without saying, after all this time, always.
Goes without saying, yeah. Every episode.
That we're always including ourselves in this, that we are living the delusion life.
It's a self-drag.
I think we actually do seek the stability or the illusion of stability more than we know, more than we think. Like, we are actually, it's much more comfortable to live in boredom and stability than it is to live in fun and anxiety. It's like, that is to be living more in that or to prefer that, you have to be living radically. Like, you'll be getting a lot of confirmation from society that you're doing a crazy thing.
You are actively choosing to subvert the norm,
which I think it's not. That's kind of, you've gone and bought a van and you're going around and it's like you've got no money.
This is Sophie's dream at the moment. Can we get her to do that? I would love for you to buy a van.
I had just a bit of a fancy last year. Not last week, I mean.
Last year?
Yeah, last week. Sorry.
What came over you? Real time, Lord.
Last week?
I haven't been in Paris for the past week. I didn't just get back from 1920.
Truly. Just being in having an affair with kind of Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah.
Just been at the Blitz.
Just been hanging out on the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah. Oh my God, that tweet that I loved. Did a Sistine? You're telling me a Sistine built this chapel?
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, that
You're
is
telling
good.
Me a Sistine built this built chapel? Chapel? So good.
But yeah, you'd have to be living an alternative lifestyle to actually prefer the fun and anxiety one, because it's almost like, what does that actually look like? Because I don't think, because in my mind, I think, well, we're living a fun and anxiety life. We're doing a podcast, but it's like, that's actually not that fucking crazy. It's not like we live this crazy life. We
not at all
actually are kind of choosing stability and boredom.
Yeah, within, yeah, but it's kind of who
defines the perimeters of stability and fun and boredom. Yeah,
it's kind of, loads of people would think we're weirdos and loads of people would think we're so normie and boring. That's, I guess, the beauty of human beings, I guess. Sorry, my boyfriend's saying that the burger is a bean burger, so do I want it, because they don't have a fake meat.
Do you want that? A bean burger, not fake meat.
I've said yes, but then really? He said, would you, he said, I can stop somewhere else on the way back if you would rather a KFC.
And would you?
Would I rather the KFC? Yeah. You know what?
I feel like you would rather that.
Yes, please, KFC. Someone said to my boyfriend the other day, what does your girlfriend do? And he said, so you know the Burger King vegan Whopper? She eats those. Alarming rate.
That is so okay. Funny. That is great.
I know. What does your girlfriend do? So you know the vegan Whopper?
I would think you'd be more the vegan Royale than the vegan Whopper.
Well, so would I, but I'm just, when they say flame grilled, boy oh boy. No, honestly, I'm loving the vegan Whopper these days. I think because, look, the Royale was always my order, but I just didn't know how good this Whopper would I'm really honestly in love with that. By the way, I know it's plant-based and not vegan. You can come from, look, you're lucky I'm not eating ribs at this point, honestly.
What does that mean? What do you mean it's plant-based, not vegan? I've eaten it.
That's
worrying. What's in it that's not vegan?
No, there's nothing in it that's not vegan. I think it's just,
there's like leather. So what do you mean? There's definitely a bit of leather in it. What do you mean it's plant-based, not vegan? Kind of, my heart rate's going up.
Well, I think just legally they say that it's plant-based.
Oh, that's just to cover some shit.
Do you see the two different types of vegans here? Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, look, we're ordering from Burger King, so to be expected.
Mine's like, I'll start projectile vomiting because I've got like major issues from childhood of never eating a piece of meat in my life.
Yeah.
So I'll start being sick if I find out there was a bit of egg in that.
Blessed. Honestly, not lucky you're blessed. It's okay, he said. Thank you. Thank you so much.
God, that's fun.
Yum.
I want to have a vegan Whopper. Maybe I should go and go. Oh my God, no, I've got Beyond Burger here. Beyond Burgers here.
Yum.
That's fun.
Yum. See, you do like a fake meat, a meaty meat.
I'm getting into it more. I definitely am getting into it. In the last year, I've got quite, I'm dipping my toes in the pool of fake meats.
Even last year of uni, you were into it with me.
Yeah, true. I usually,
I think I pushed you out of your comfort zone, hey?
Do you know what scares me when people are like, oh, this just tastes so much like meat? I'm literally like,
yeah, that's my true. Face. Yeah.
When people are like, oh God, you can't even tell the difference. It's like, that's literally the worst thing you could say to me. Because I think, what if it's been switched?
I do remember once I was getting a burrito. Exactly, yeah. Once I was getting a burrito in, is it called La Choza?
That place, yeah, yeah.
In Brighton. I'm definitely pronouncing that wrong, so sorry.
It's pink and it always smells of fish, that place.
Right, well, I went there and got a burrito and I was shitting myself because it had beans in it, but I was really convinced that it was like some sort of meat, like pate, like a blended meat.
That is terrifying, yeah.
And not just like, oh, I'm having like chicken. Is that, oh fuck, I've gone back to meat and I'm having the worst kind. I'm having quite an extreme form of meat.
I'm having foie gras.
I was also kind of gutted that I was like, God, I've broken my streak by accident. Do you know what I mean? Just in that kind of sense, it was quite gutting. But I didn't. I was completely wrong. I was being paranoid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, Jonas Brothers paranoid.
It was a bean. It was all a bean. Well, that's the vegan segment of the show.
Thank God that was over.
What are you having for dinner? Do you like fake meat or are you more of a bean burger girl?
Would love to know.
Would you rather go to KFC or would you rather have the vegan Whopper?
I would rather... What time are we on, out of curiosity?
We're on over an hour and three.
Whoa!
But go on, what would you rather? Let's let it run. This thing's got legs.
Let's keep this thing going. I could go all night. What did you say? Would I rather have the KFC or the vegan Whopper?
Or just like what would be your go-to vegan burger right now?
Well, it really depends. But at the moment, it is the vegan Whopper. I'm loving it. I think because my chicken burger... Growing up, I would always get the chicken burger, my chicken sandwich meal, etc., etc.
I have to tell you what mine is after this because it's actually embarrassing, but go on.
Was yours a fillet of fish?
I didn't eat fish. Absolutely not. It was vegetarian from like age like 4.
I love that. I think that's embarrassing. Was you it said it's really embarrassing. Fish? I said, is it ordering a fish burger at McDonald's? What was it?
I would get... Sorry, I'll let you finish afterwards, but this is too embarrassing.
No, I don't care to finish. Go on.
Me and my sister, we only realised this was weird like a year ago, but we'd go, can we get a Happy Meal with double chips? Like it would be a Happy Meal with just two portions of chips in, nothing else. As in, because we couldn't have chicken nuggets.
Oh my God.
So we wanted the toy and everything, so it'd be a Happy Meal.
With two portions of chips?
It would be, say, can I get a Happy Meal with double chips?
How old were you?
We were like, well, from age like 4 to like whatever age you stop eating Happy Meals.
Happy Meals. But that's what I'm saying. What age is that? What age did you stop eating Happy Meals?
I don't know, because then we went to a thing called a veggie melt. But then they stopped doing that. Then it was spicy bean burger. Yeah. And that's not even vegan. I don't even know what they do now. The fucking dipper thing.
Yeah, McDonald's needs to get, they need to get a grip, really.
They just want their fucking lives out.
Grow up.
Is this interesting?
No, I want to leave.
Okay, let's do it. But did you say what your dream meal? I think I interrupted with double chips, though.
Dream meal is like a big old roast dinner, but...
No, not dream meal. Dream burger. What's your burger?
Yeah, my burger go-to at the moment would be the plant-based Whopper. I'm just really liking it. And I love the Royale as well.
Maybe we should do that in our next live. Have the plant-based Whoppers.
Oh my God.
I want the Royale though.
Well, you know what me and my boyfriend did was that we got...
Why is this the longest conversation we've ever had on the podcast?
Never gone so in depth. In this episode, we'll be unpacking KFC. We'll be unpacking the menu at Burger King. Stay tuned.
What's your order?
Basically, we would order three things. We'd order three meals and then have one each and then split the third. Yum. So maybe we should do that if you're down to do that.
So what would you get? The Whopper, the Royale and a thing?
So at the moment, I would eat a full Whopper.
I don't know what else is at Burger King. I literally stepped foot in a Burger King for the first time like a month ago.
I would eat the full Whopper and then I'd have half the Royale. Because I do love the Royale.
That's fun. And then what would your boyfriend get for his?
I think he's into the Whopper at the moment.
Got it.
Vegs.
Oh, he's getting the Vegs Whopper.
Yeah. Humble king. He's saving the planet one boyfriend at a time.
This is just a... We should just do this off the podcast now.
Okay, well, if you don't hear from us...
Assume that we're eating Whoppers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.